All right, there's so much content today, so much. Do you have your listening ears on? Are you strapped in? We're gonna be running, okay? All right, remember the easy button? This was a campaign by Staples, I think it was, and they sell them as novelties now, and you can push the button, and it said that was easy, and everybody sort of wants everything easy. Today, Solomon talks about this notion of everybody wanting things easy. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. This is 3,000-year-old wisdom. It's unbelievable how applicable it is today. I was telling somebody after the first service, it's been amazing to me how many people after these sermons come to me and say, I learned this or that was interesting. It's really interesting that wisdom from 3,000 years ago still sort of jolts us today. There's a motivational speaker by the name of Dave Sanderson. He was on the airplane, if you'll recall, that landed in the Hudson. And he was the last guy off the plane. He helped other people get off the plane before he exited himself. And now he's a motivational speaker. And he talks about this idea of everybody wants it easy. Everybody wants to be in control. And then he makes the point at the end that the easy button rarely delivers, and that when it does, sometimes there are hidden costs. And we're going to talk about that today, these hidden costs. We're wired for easy. And in fact, I think the animal kingdom is wired for easy. I'm not a hunter, but I do hike quite a bit. And when I'm hiking, occasionally I'll see a path through the woods, and it's a game path, and that's the path of least resistance, and that's where the animals go, because they know that's the path of least resistance. If you're a hunter or if you're a trapper, that's where you trap, because you know that's where the animals are going to be. We're sort of wired to take it easy. And yet Solomon talks about this. There was a boy, and he was notoriously late in getting up in the morning. This was a summer, and his dad was aggravated with him because he would sleep in, and dad didn't like it. And so the dad said, okay, I'm going to tell you a parable, and then I want you to tell me what the moral of the story is. The boy's like, okay, dad, whatever. You know. So the dad said, okay, there are two birds. One bird gets up early. And he gets up early and he finds lots of bugs to eat for himself and for his family. And the second bird gets up late and there are no bugs left when the second bird gets up. What's the moral of the story? And the boy said, well, if I was a bug, I'd get up late. So Solomon writing the book of Proverbs is a dad trying to instill wisdom into his son or his sons. And I sort of wonder to myself, did Solomon have a son that was a little bit slothful? What he does is he says, okay, boys, sons, children, I've noticed this is how life works, and I want you to see what's going on. And today we're talking about kind of two things. It's the same thing, but I'll explain. Sloth. We're talking about a problem. Sloth is an word we use a lot. Laziness is more common for us. And people who are slothful, who are lazy, Solomon calls them sluggards. He calls them sluggards. Now, sloth by definition is this. It's the reluctance to work or make an effort. The reluctance to work or make an effort. Okay, let me take a real quick quiz. Are you ready? How many of you have heard of the seven deadly sins? Anybody? Oh, good, okay. It's a Catholic thing. Can you name any of them? Gluttony. What? Greed. Pride. Envy. Lust. Yeah. Or I could just show you. It seems much easier. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, pride. What's really interesting is we have an app for every one of them. Lust, we have Tinder and OnlyFans. Gluttony, DoorDash or Uber Eats. Greed, LinkedIn, DraftKings. Wrath, X, that's funny. Envy, Facebook. Yeah, you don't put the bad stuff on Facebook. Pride, Instagram. And sloth, Netflix. Now, just to be honest with you, when you look at that list, I mean, sloth is the weakest, isn't it? I mean, have you ever heard a coroner's report that said died of taking too many naps? I mean, really, you don't really hear of that. We need rest. We like rest. The others make sense. Lust gets you in a lot of trouble. Gluttony can cause health issues. Greed, we know that is not good for us. Wrath, that hardly ever turns out good. Envy put Jesus on the cross. Pride goes before a fall. We know all of these things, and yet there's sloth in the mix. That's not like in Scripture particularly as a list anyplace. There was a guy named Pope Gregory I in about 500, I think it was, 500 AD, and he comes up with this list. But the list is sort of important. And then you think about this. Americans, I don't know how slothful we are. We're busy. We run on Adderall and Dunkin' Donuts, you know. I mean, we are busy all the time. And if we're not busy at work, then we're doing home improvement projects, or we're at the gym. Go to the gym at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning or 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, and there'll be a lot of people there doing stuff. In fact, Americans, we work more than some people. In the industrialized world, we take less days off than most other countries. In Europe, Austria, they offer 36 days of paid vacation. I'm moving. I mean, really, we get 10 as Americans. They get 36. There were a couple others that were pretty good. France and Spain get, Austria gets 38. France and Spain get 36. So, even though Solomon talks about sloth, why do we need to talk about sloth? Okay, well, it's more than just working. We all procrastinate, or at least most of us do. We daydream, we run late, we run late for appointments, or we miss appointments, we fritter away a whole evening. You can get on your phone, and if you're not careful, you've spent hours on Facebook, or YouTube, or TikTok, or Instagram, or Pinterest, or whatever game that you might be playing. You can just be there forever. We start projects we don't finish. We leave things that never actually get done. We neglect people. How many times has somebody called you and you're in the middle of something? You're in the middle of watching something or looking at something, and somebody will call you, and I know nobody calls anybody anymore, but you get a phone call or you get a text or something, and you can't give them your attention because you're too busy doing something else. That's sloth, not being present in the moment. And Solomon talks about this, and he talks about it a lot. In fact, there's so much content, it's going to take 2 weeks to get through it all. So let's jump in. He says, "How long will you lie there, you sluggard?" That's a person that's lazy, a sluggard. When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed bandit. You might not know this, but Solomon was probably one of the, if not the most accomplished people who ever lived on this planet. This guy did everything. I didn't know this, but he was involved in metallurgy. There's a book called Aligning with Heaven by David Herzog. He says that Solomon expanded iron production into the largest in the ancient Near East. I had no clue. Maritime trade. Now, Jewish people didn't love the oceans and such, but Solomon had the financial wealth to build this shipping industry. And so he shipped products, food products. Sometimes they didn't have enough food. Well, not during Solomon's reign. Israel had plenty of food. In fact, they had a surplus of food. They were shipping food all over the place with their ships. Scientific research. The Bible tells us that Solomon studied animals. He studied plants. He had this intricate knowledge of these things. Music and poetry. He wrote 1,005 psalms. He enhanced the music ministry in the temple. Diplomacy. He was able to negotiate treaties, trade treaties, peace treaties. He was quite the diplomat. Construction. He was the one in charge of building Solomon's temple, the temple to God, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Now, he didn't design it. That came from God. But he oversaw the construction. He built a palace for himself that evidently was magnificent, and gardens and roads, and this was all Solomon. In governance, he governed Israel. They had 12 tribes, 12 sections, and each section would bring their their gift or their offering or their taxes to Solomon once a year. It was equitable. Everybody paid the same amount. Every tribe had the same requirement. Brilliant. Prosperity. He was enormously wealthy with horses and with others, accumulated thousands of horses and chariots. And in 1 Kings 10:14, it says, each year Solomon received, get this, about 24 tons of gold. Do you know what that's worth? About $2.66 billion in today's economy. This was his collection in taxes, $2.66 billion. So, it's not as if Solomon was slothful, but he saw what it does to people. Sloth. And when he's talking about, okay, well, this is not good for you, he writes this: slack habits and sloppy work are as bad as vandalism. And you say to yourself, as bad as vandalism? Yeah, because it ruins things. Slothfulness ruins relationships, it ruins finances, it ruins ambition. When you're not eager to do things, it robs you of your joy. It saddles you spiritually. I mean, there are disciplines that we should be involved in that we just aren't involved in if we're slothful. We just say to ourselves, well, I'll do it later, or I'll do it eventually. When we hear the word sloth, we think of that three-toed animal. It's kind of cute. He lays around. He's slow. He sleeps 15 hours a day. But Solomon's talking about the five-toed animal that lays around. Kind of cute, sleeps 15 hours a day. The Latin word for sloth is acedia. It literally means to lack taking care. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Desert Fathers, but in the 3rd and 4th century, there were these guys, and they decided living in society was just not spiritual for them. They were really struggling. And so they decided they're going to go and they're going to form a monastery or a convent, and they were going to live as monks in the desert, the Desert Fathers. And they talk about acedia. I want you to think about this. These people intentionally get away from the world in order to focus specifically and entirely on prayer and study of God's word. That was their job. That's all they did, prayer and study of God's word. And yet, they struggled with sloth. I got to read this to you. It is remarkable how current this sounds. There was a guy by the name of Evagrius Ponticus, which is what I was going to name my son if we had one, but we didn't get that yet. A 4th century monk who talks about acedia. This is what he says. The demon of acedia attacks the monk at about the 4th hour, which is about 10 a.m. First of all, he makes it appear that the sun moves slowly or not at all. Have you ever been in a job like that? My dad one time told me he worked in a factory, and he said, son, I worked 4 hours, and I looked up and the clock had only moved 15 minutes. That's what he's talking about here. As if the sun is moving slowly or not at all, and that the day seems to be 50 hours long. Then he compels the monk to look constantly toward the window, to want to jump out of his room. And further, he instills in him a dislike of that place and the state of life itself and of manual labor. And he instills the idea that nobody loves him and that that nobody cares about him. And he leads him for a desire for another place. Sloth is more than just being slow. It steals you from doing the things God's called you to do. Pope Gregory put it this way. He said, sloth is the temptation to take the easy way out and to avoid hard things. I'm going to give you 2 quotes today. That's one of them. And that one really, it punches at us. This is, God gives us something to do, but we say, I don't have time for that. Or that's not my job. Or that's not my gifting. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Or God compels us to have a difficult conversation and we say, well, I don't really want to do that. I'm going to let somebody else take care of that. The temptation to take the easy way out. Is it ever okay to take the easy way out? Well, sure. But it can't be every time. Sometimes God compels us to do difficult things. Let me show you one more quote. This one wrecked me, man. A guy named Derek Kidner, he's a theologian. The slothful person deceives himself by the smallness of his surrenders. We act as if we're doing these great things for God, when in fact it really just isn't much. Or we're not doing our best. It's not that we've done anything wrong particularly. We just haven't done all the good that we could do. We have potential, and we're not living up to the potential. So he paints this picture. It's almost like he colors for us this caricature of what a sloth looks like. So what does a sloth look like? The portrait. The sluggard loves excuses. Look at this one. The sluggard said, he got funny here. There's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. There wasn't a lion outside. He's just making an excuse. That's like one of us saying, I'm going to start my diet after the holidays. It's September. The holidays, they're not here yet. You could start now. I mean, you could take it like you hit the pause button. But no, I'll start at the first of the year because everything happens at the first of the year. Or this is saying, I'll read my Bible when life slows down. Or I'll start saving when I get a raise. It's always, it's going to happen eventually. I'm not going to do it now. It's like the guy that called into work and he said, I can't come in today. And the guy goes, well, can't you come in today? And he said, well, my bed and I are having separation anxiety. That's this kind of excuse. There's a lion outside. It's a silly excuse. I heard about a professor, he was talking about the excuses he hears for kids not turning in their papers on time. One of them said, the internet is slow. Okay. You know, there's internet other places than in your room. It was ridiculous. One kid said, I lost my book. Okay, here's an idea, find it. I mean, you know, borrow one. It is easy. The sluggard, excuses are a dime a dozen, and the sluggard, it has a pocket full of them. What Proverbs does for us, it holds up a mirror, and we don't always like what it shows us. The sluggard would rather justify not doing something than do it. The second one, this is my favorite. The sluggard loves to sleep. Look at this verse. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. If he were writing it today, he would say, as a rotisserie chicken turns, you know, in that rotisserie chicken thing. Or as a hot dog at Sphinx rolls on that little roly thing. By the way, I didn't want to use that illustration without doing some market research. And the Sphinx hot dog is awesome. Okay, so... But it's movement, but no progress, right? They're not really doing anything. You're not making anything happen. Movement without progress. So this is why he says, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. It's not a lot more. It's just a little more. I'm going to sleep a little longer. I'm going to wait a little longer before I do that project. It can wait another week. I'm going to skip only this one assignment. It's always just a little bit of neglect. And before you know it, you've slept through your opportunities. I looked on Amazon. They have something called a shock clock to help you wake up. It's basically a little wristband, and their slogan is, a shocking way to start your day. It gives you... It physically shocks you awake. There's another one. It's just brilliant, by the way. It's a clock that sits on your nightstand, but when it goes off, it vibrates so violently that it falls on the floor and it goes away from you, and you have to go get up and get it and pick it up. There are means today to help us not be in the bed all day long. Thomas Edison understood. By the way, look at this. This is important. God gives rest to his loved ones. I'm not saying don't rest. Rest is important. Thomas Edison was brilliant, this brilliant inventor. He took power naps, but when he took a nap, he would hold this metal ball, and he knew if he fell into too deep a sleep, it would fall out of his hands, hit the floor, and wake him up. He didn't want to be asleep. He didn't want to sleep his day away. That's what the slothful person does. They sleep to escape. Did you know, I don't know if you've heard about this, in in young people at college, there's something called the sleep epidemic. Kids lay in bed for about 9 hours a day, but they only sleep for 6 hours a day. The other time that they're in bed, they're scrolling on their phones, they're binge watching something. They're laying down, they're just not really resting. They never give their mind a break. I read another study this week. 6 hours of sleep isn't enough for most people. 8 hours is too much. You kind of need to be in the middle for most people. 8 hours for me is—it's nice. That's why I go to bed at 3 p.m. Yeah, it's like you got to make yourself rest, and rest is important to us. See, here's the thing: the sluggard wants pleasure but hates effort. Look at this text. The craving of the sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work all day long. He craves for more. He wants the trophy without the training. He wants the degree without the study. He wants the paycheck without the work. Lazy people love shortcuts. This is why get-rich-quick schemes are so popular, or lose-weight-quick schemes are so popular. Think about get-rich-quick schemes, multi-level marketing, or this prince in Nigeria that needs some help. You know, you probably all got that email. Or the idea of the lottery. The lottery is a shortcut to wealth. You know why they have a lottery? Because people want a shortcut. And most of the people that play the lottery can't afford to play the lottery, but they want something quick. It is a $100 billion a year industry. There's a reason. A lot of people want the easy way. The sluggard also, he says, lacks initiative. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He will not even bring it back to his mouth. Okay, you're at the Mexican restaurant, you dip your chip in the salsa, and that's it. It never makes it to your mouth. That's the picture he's painting. He dips it, he just doesn't get it to his mouth. The sluggard has no drive. They're waiting for somebody else to solve the problem. My dad used to say to me, and I've heard this 100,000 times, we worked together. We started a muffler shop, and I was his, you know, associate. I was a muffler dude. Daddy was in charge, and Dad would say to me, he said it to me all the time, "Don't wait for me to tell you what to do. Look around and see what needs to be done, and do that. Take some initiative." In the workplace, the most valuable employee isn't the most talented; it's the one that'll work. That will take some initiative. It's the same at church. Some people come into church and they automatically look to see if there's anything that needs to be done. And then some people just sit. It's just that way everywhere. The sluggard lacks initiative. And then they live in this fantasy world. Those who work their land will have abundant food. But those who chase fantasies have no sense. It's more dreaming than doing. Social media, it feeds that. You know, I can watch somebody who is great at something. I can watch them and I can say to myself, I could do that. I should do that. I just don't do that. That's the fantasy. I want to do it. I think I probably could do it. I just don't do it. I heard about one guy, he said, I'm a great starter. I just can't finish anything. He said, on my tombstone, they're probably going to put he almost ... because that's sort of the summation of his life. So Solomon paints this picture of what a sluggard is. And maybe you saw yourself in that a little bit, making excuses, rolling around on the bed, you know, not taking initiative. That might have resonated with you. And what you need to understand is he doesn't just laugh at sloth. He warns you about sloth. This isn't going to turn out good for you because it affects us financially. It affects us relationally. It affects our health. And it affects our spiritual lives. So what are the costs? Well, I'll give you four. Poverty. We're going to look at the same verses, but in a different translation. But you lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. It's not sudden laziness. It's creeping a little. It's a little. It's incremental. Financial advisors tell people, and I think most people naturally think, okay, well, I probably need to save for retirement. I probably need to save for retirement. But it's the slothful person, the sluggard is, I'll start next year. Well, next year becomes the next year becomes the next year, and before you know it, you're really close to retirement and you've not saved anything. And most of us understand I'm probably going to need more than Social Security. If you're young, you might not even have Social Security. We need to think, but more than thinking, we need to do. CNBC reports that 60% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Well, how are you even going to save? And then there are people who put things on credit. Listen to this statistic. Americans' credit card debt in America right now, as of mid-2025, so as of now, is $1.32 trillion with a T. Now, some of that is emergencies. I get that. But why didn't you have an emergency fund? Why aren't you saving for a rainy day? We're not thinking ahead. You have to think ahead. I know, man. I know stuff happens, medical bills. I know things can happen. But 60% of Americans, something just didn't happen. There's a whole lot of slothfulness out there. Something else. Sloth destroys relationships. All right, I'm going to tell you the truth. I've read the Bible through at least 25 times. I read it through every year. I've done it for a long time. I've never noticed this verse. This is a great verse. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. Apple cider vinegar is supposed to be good for you. So I took a swig one time. You know, I took a... Evidently, you're supposed to dilute it. That would have been good, good information before. And if you've ever been around smoke or fire, you know you've been at a bonfire and you have your little what are those white things called? Marshmallow. Thank you very much. You have your marshmallows. You're making a s'more. You have to say it like that because we're s'more. And you have it in there. Here's what, for me, this is what happens every fire I've ever been around. I'm here and the smoke is blowing that way until I get here. And then what happens? It comes to me. So it's like, okay. And then it comes to me. The brilliance of this verse is everybody's experienced this. And lazy people are annoying. Lazy people burden their family. Lazy parents burden their kids. Lazy employees burden the whole team. Listen to this. In the workplace, studies show that disengaged employees, that's a nice HR word for sluggard, cost U.S. companies over $500 billion annually, and everybody hates them because they don't carry their own weight. And if you're not doing your task, I'm going to have to do it for you. Just like smoke in the eyes and vinegar on the teeth, you are annoying when you don't pull your own weight. I heard this joke about a guy. The supervisor walks by and he sees this guy and he said, "Hey man, why aren't you working?" And the guy said, "I didn't see you coming. That's why, you know." All right, so that's part of it. Sloth wastes opportunities. Sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time, they look but find nothing. This is a verse where you go, duh. If you don't plant, you're not going to harvest. It is really not that complex. And lazy people miss opportunities and the chance. Lazy students miss scholarships. Employees who are slack miss opportunities for promotions. Christians who ignore spiritual disciplines miss the opportunity to be better Christians. Here's a stat that is crazy. 30% of all men of working age in this culture are not working. 30%. Well, why? Another interesting fact about this, George Mason University reports that 75% of inactive prime age men are in households that received some form of government transfer. I am all for the government providing a safety net for people to get from here to there. Everybody struggles at some point. Sometimes we need some assistance. It's not how you're supposed to live. The Bible says, if you do not work, you don't eat. It's a biblical principle. I know this because my dad quoted that one to me about 100,000 times too. If you don't work, you don't eat. And then there's this insipid gaming thing that goes on with young people. And I say that, look, if I was young in this era, this would be me. I have this addictive personality, and that would be me. I am very thankful I was born earlier than now, because I would be on the gaming machine all the time. But kids literally spend hour after hour after hour consumed with meaningless competition that gains them nothing. One more. Sloth, or maybe two more. Sloth breeds discontent. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. The hidden cost of being lazy is you never are satisfied with anything. I had a friend who was in a dead-end job, and every time I talked to him, he complained. Man, I hate my job. This job stinks. I don't like this job. Every time. So one time I said, okay, well, have you updated your resume? Have you sent it out to anybody? Are you taking any classes? Oh, no, man, that's a lot of work. Okay. So you're going to sit there and complain, but you're not going to do anything about it. That's the sluggard life. I'm not going to make any effort for it to be better. One last verse. A lazy person's way is blocked with briars, but the path of the upright is an open highway. I love to hike. I love it. I like being out in nature. I just like it. Here's one thing I've learned about briars. They don't remove themselves. Like if you're walking today and there's a briar there, then if you come back next week, it's still going to be there. And if you come back in a year, it's not only not still going to be there, there's going to be more. You got two options if you're walking a path and there's a briar. You can go on a different path, or you can cut the briar out. That's what he's talking about. You can do away with the briar. Lazy people look at the briar and they just sit down. They go, well, okay, there's a briar in the path. Okay, we'll do something about it. Let me end with two quotes. One we've already seen. This one was so powerful for me. Sloth is the temptation to take the easy way out and to avoid hard things. To avoid the difficulty of struggle. We don't ever want to struggle. But no pain, no gain. Struggle helps us. The next one is John F. Kennedy talking about doing hard things. When the space race was going on in the 60s, Kennedy said this: we choose to go to the moon in this decade and to do other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. That is a great quote. You choose to do the hard thing. I'm going to finish with a couple of quotes from Dave Sanderson, the guy I quoted earlier about the easy button. He says this: the real easy button is this, get really good at doing difficult things. That means showing up even when you don't feel like it, having tough conversations others avoid. Let me go back to that first one. Showing up when you really don't feel like it, having tough conversations others avoid, sticking with habits when motivation fades. Learning from failure, practice your craft until what's hard for others feels natural to you. This is the part no one wants to tell you because it's not flashy or fast, but it is the only path that works long term. Sometimes you have to do the difficult work. So today we looked at, all right, this is what sloth does. Basically, the whole day, today I can sum up like this: sloth bad, okay? Sloth bad. Next week we're going to talk about not sloth good, and we're going to talk about how do we not live a life where we avoid every difficult thing. How do we do that? All right, that's next week. Let's pray. If you would stand, I meant to tell you this. After we're done, I always go hang out right here. If you want to come say hello, you need somebody to pray with, I'm happy to chat with you. I'll be right there. Lord, I pray a blessing on my friends today. Help us to be willing to do the difficult things, not because they're easy, but because they're difficult. Help us to lean in to tough stuff and help it make us better and grow us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.